you ready for word this morning? Habakkuk chapter 2. We've been here lately, but it's important we see this because it needs to be down inside of us. We've got to have this as our vision for life. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he shall say unto me, saying, I'm going to go pray, and God's going to speak to me. I want to hear what he's got to say. How many want to hear what God has to say?
Amen.
How many believe God's going to speak to you this morning?
Amen.
He's going to speak to me?
Amen. Yes.
You don't know who gets the most out of my preaching. Me. I'll be preaching one. That's good, God. Because he'll drop revelation in me as I'm ministering.
Yes.
And he says, I'm going to pray and God's going to speak to me. And then he says, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. This is in the King James. He's saying, God's going to speak, but I know it's going to require change on my part.
Yeah.
Now again, the Monday before New Year's, this year, December 29th, I think it was, the Lord came to me and told me about the future of the church and the future of this church, what we need to do for 2026. You got it, didn't you? Did you get it? Could you do that before?
This is the second time.
Huh?
This is the second time.
Second time. Praise God. The anointing's real. And so, he spoke to me and says, it's going to be a year of stretching.
Yes.
Now, this is before we're in the building. It's going to be a year of stretching. How many of you have stretched so far? We've been stretched physically, but there's going to be a spiritual stretch. And the Spirit of God's going to demand stuff of us.
Yes.
Amen. Change in our lives. Sometimes radical change, radical shifts. And so he says, Habakkuk says, I'm gonna have to determine when he speaks to me what I'm willing to change. God will not violate your free will.
Right.
That's right.
It's your choice when God speaks to you how much you will step into it.
That's right.
Amen. You know, if you'd ask Frosty how will he hear God, he probably would say, because he's so humble. I don't really hear God at all, or I don't hear much. He's been hearing God all week. He's been hearing God, clean this up, pick that up, do this. And it may have been a stretch for him. You follow me? He's experienced some pain in his knees, but he won't let that stop him. He's stretching. See, stretching isn't always some deep revelation. It's just doing what God tells you to do. Amen.
Yeah.
You talk about a stretch. You just ministered on Friday, Thursday night. You come in Friday morning, ready to receive. Okay, my time's over. I can relax. They say, you're going to preach it again at 3 o'clock. To a handful of people. Well, no worship team to prepare.
Yeah.
You step up and do it. And that's what we do. But it's a stretch at times. I had the notes. Praise God, I had notes. Anyway, it's a year of stretching. But then Habakkuk goes on and he says, and the Lord answered me.
Yes.
Wow. If God answered an Old Testament prophet, he's going to answer you.
Hallelujah.
He's going to answer you. He said, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make a plan upon tables that he may run and readeth it. And you know what? Habakkuk, he wrote it down. Now, God didn't tell him to run with it. He said, there were reasons to run with it. And he wrote it down because it's in verse 14. God says, here's the vision. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the vision. He said, if you read it, you should run towards it. And if you have a Bible, and it's more than just the New Testament and Psalms, you have the Old Testament as well. Habakkuk's in your Bible. And if you read your Bible, you read that, and there should be something in you that goes, yes, now I know my goal. I was a Christian for many years before I knew the goal. In fact, God showed this to me in Bible study that was the goal. I mean, decades ago, he showed me the goal was the glory. And Once you see this, now you know what you're going to be running toward. And running requires stretching. Do you ever see runners that run a lot? What do they do before they run? They stretch. Right? They stretch out. And when you're running, and you get to the last part of the race, what do they call the final part of the race?
Home stretch.
The home stretch, the final stretch, right? Special horse racing, they talk about it. And those horses stretch out in that final section of the race. And God's saying, there's a race going on. We're in the final part of it. I need you to stretch. I need you to sprint with everything you've got to get to this place of carrying my end time glory into the earth. Because you can't go there just living your life like you always have. You can't go there just trying to be a nice person and get along with people and be sweet and show up at church, you know, occasionally or even often. It requires saying, God, what you have me do every day and moving into it. And believing God will advance you spiritually. You'll develop spiritual more word knowledge, more spiritual sensitivity, more anointing on your life that you can do what Jesus did. Amen. God's raising up the end time a whole army of warriors who are trained for what they do. Any military people in there, ex-military?
BJ.
Nobody?
BJ.
Billy James.
BJ. You didn't raise your hand.
I did. Not.
I didn't hear something whip like a whip breaking the sound barrier. Like, thank you, BJ, for your service. 10 years in the Air Force, right?
Yes, sir.
And an Air Force, and I'm sure they do it for the ladies as well. Probably when you went in, they had a training period. Is it called boot camp for you as well?
It was.
There's a training period. They're teaching how the Army operates. And to do it, what do they do in boot camp? I've seen the movies. I've heard the reports. They tear you down and build you back up like they want you.
Exactly.
I mean, they take your person, they take your attitudes, and you become the person they want you to be. If not, you don't make it. And I've watched people that are in military. Many family members, friends have been in military. And stuff they learn in the military, a lot of it stays with them forever. I mean, people in the military went through it, probably still fold their underwear. I'm not going to ask BJ to answer that. Everything is very neat and put away because, you know, they inspect stuff in the military. And people who've been through it still live like they're getting inspected. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Of course, I'm sure some rebel against it when they get out. And it's obvious you come to my house, I was never in the military. They tear you down to build you back up how they want you. And it's going to be a stretch. They're going to stretch you mentally, physically, psychologically, I guess it's part of mentally. And in some cases, probably spiritually. And in the kingdom of God, those that run, there's got to be a tearing down. Not to take away your personality, your person, not to make you miserable, but to teach you how to exit one kingdom and function out of another. When Billie Jean, I'll use her as an example because she's the only one I got here for the military right now. When she was in this church early, the enemy would attack her often about, you need to get out of that church. You need to go. She'd get under these mental bombardments. The devil saying, you need to run. If you leave, I'll stop harassing you. She came to my office one day and says, you know what? When I entered the military, they made me take an oath of allegiance to the U.S. military service. And she said, I've written out a oath of allegiance to this church. And I believe if I'll swear this oath, the devil will leave me alone in this area. Is that right?
That's what the Lord said.
And so she said the Lord told her to do it. So she did. She came in and read an oath of allegiance. I'm not saying every attack broke, but it's not been like it was. And now it's been probably 15 years ago or so.
More than that.
And she was applying her past military training to today to make her immovable. And God's going to teach you how to exit dependency on one realm and depend upon another.
Yes.
Leave the kingdom of the natural, that everything's based on your reason, your logic, and who you can manipulate, to I trust God.
Yes.
And I apply the principles of the Word, and I trust God for these situations. And so those that run make this transition. I need to get out of this vein. The runners get special shoes. Serious runners. Special clothes. I mean, the swimmers that race shave their bodies to make them faster. They're taking the race seriously. God's calling us to put on the whole armor of God, change our attitudes, and get serious about what God's called us to do.
Amen.
Because you don't go where we're going without being all in. Remember the three things we talked about it takes to go into the glory? How many remember the three things without looking at your notes?
Holiness.
All in.
All in was third, and thankfulness. Holiness, thankfulness, and being all in are three requirements to move to the glory. Those all deal with running. Running to the vision. Do you follow me on that? And so, whoever reaches should run with it. We just read it. Well, I recited it. You've heard it, you've read it. And guess what? You're now charged up with God to be a runner. Your life is not your own. We're going to see that before we're done. But then he says this in verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, there's a specific period of time. God says, this running is really going to be in the final stretch. Race horses rarely take off at full blast from the starting line. They got a long race to make. They got a long mile. And they'll pace them at a high level all the way around the track till they get to the final part. And then they stretch them out. In most cases. And for the past 2,000 years, much of the church has been in just a controlled lope. But God's saying, now's the final stretch. Now I'm raising up a bride, a group of the church that's all in. They're stretched with everything they have to go where I'm calling them. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm just telling you the opportunity God put before us. We get to be, I really believe this. We get to be the church that crosses the finish line. What's the finish line? The rapture? Yeah. I believe it's coming very soon.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we will cooperate with God and stretch, we get to be that body. So he says, the vision is here for an appointed time. But at the end, what end of what? The end of the time of the Gentiles. 2 days, 2,000 years of the time of the Gentiles. We're at the end of that. In fact, mathematically, 2 days you're up. Somewhere between 2027 and 2033. Because we don't know the exact date Jesus was crucified, but that birthed the time of the Gentiles. So from 2033, you know he's about 33 when he's crucified. We estimate he was crucified somewhere between 27 and 33. At 2,000 years, we're here. He said, at the end it shall speak. And not lie. Though it seems like it's running late, it's not going to be late. It will not tarry. We're about to see the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God we've ever seen.
Amen.
We saw some of it last week. If you're in any of the services, the presence of God was so strong that it pulled you into that realm of kingdom mentality. And the word coming forth was so transitional that it was God designed to take us to another level. Thank you, Lord God. So we're in the time of the vision, right? And in verse 4, we've covered it, so let's just touch on it very briefly. It talks about the people of the vision and the people not of the vision. It says, behold, he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. He who thinks they know more than the Word, more than God, they know what time it is spiritually, aside from the Word. He says, they're not going to make it. They're not right. He says, the ones that are going to make it are the just, the righteous that will live by faith.
Yes.
The righteous that will live out of the kingdom, by faith, out of the kingdom. They will be the ones that will carry the glory of God. Now again, go to Isaiah 60 again. We're still in review, right?
Yeah.
Why are you reviewing this so much? Because I want it to be part of how we comprehend our time. If I only read this one time, you said, oh, that was good teaching. But you probably wouldn't run with it. But if we can keep rehearsing this, keep comprehending what God's doing, we'll get to the place, I'm going to live in this. And anything we think outside of that, there's a whole lot. Amen. I was thinking about this the other day. In college, we had to do some memorization in a literature class I took. And I remember Hamlet's syllable because I had to memorize it. Now, this is 53 years ago. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or by opposing in them, to die to sleep no more, for in the sleep of death what dreams may come. I probably messed it up, but I still remember from 50-something years ago a memorization. Why? Because in doing it, I read it over and over again. And I remember a soliloquy out of Macbeth that I memorized. And you probably remember some things as well. For I wish I was a... Oh, you're afraid to say it, weren't you? An Oscar Mayer wiener, right? I can't believe I ate a whole thing. I mean, we could do this actually. Some of you aren't old enough to remember this.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse.
Amen.
M-I-C-K.
I remember, you'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with
Pepsodent.
Yeah. Jingles have a purpose. You program you to remember things. Because they want you to buy their product. And if we keep rehearsing the Word, we bring it before our eyes. It becomes part of our thinking. And God wants us to buy into His product, which is the kingdom of God, which is the glory, really. And so that's why we review. So in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, why can you quote these without reading them? Because I've read them so many times. You follow what I'm talking about. Let's try this. For God so loved the
world.
Keep going.
His only begotten Son.
Everybody here knows that passage. Probably everybody. Why, you've heard John 3:16 quoted all your life. But we've not heard Isaiah 60 and Habakkuk 2 quoted. We really believe in salvation through Jesus, but we've not come to the place where we really recognize the Word says we're to move into the glory. So Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. On who?
Me.
Me. Try saying me.
Me.
The glory is coming on me.
Me.
Yeah. And it says, for darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. In other words, the glory is not... The glory will be in the millennial reign of Christ. It will be in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. It will be in heaven forever. But he says it's also coming during a time of great darkness on earth. That might be now. Do you follow me? I mean, that might be now that all the goofiness going on our politics, that's pretty much evidence for those darkness people buying into it. And he says, for darkness shall come here, for gross darkness to be, but my glory shall arise and be seen upon. God says, I'm bringing my glory to you. And then he talks about it's going to bring in the harvest. We talked about that last week. Kings are going to come to the brightness of our rising. Our sons and daughters shall come forth to be nursed at our side. The harvest coming into the glory.
Yes.
Not through marching out there with a little track and trying to scare people into the kingdom. Because it says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads them into repentance. And the glory is a full outward display of God's love and goodness. Are you getting anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Then go with me to Colossians. Chapter 1, that's New Testament. Right before the T's. Colossians chapter 1. And I virtually love this passage. Let's start at verse number 23. If he continue in the faith, in other words, it's not just enough to get saved, it's not just enough to believe in Jesus, there's got to be continuation. Got to be continuation. Keep going into the kingdom. Grounded and settled. In other words, nothing's going to move you. And then it says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. Don't let any devil move you out of where God put you. We talked about this Thursday night in the March encounter. I talked about it here in our first service in this building. Jesus took a horrible punishment upon his body. His body was shredded to the place he was unrecognizable to pay the price for us to be able to stay in the church he's called us to without any wisdom. Because by his stripes, the body of Christ was made whole. Every part connected together by the skeletal system of the Word. And so, he says, be not moved. Don't let the devil take you out of your calling, your position. Amen. And find out where God wants you if you don't know it. He says, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Every creature under heaven preached to every creature. I need more revelation on that one. But I'm telling you, God's goodness is being displayed in a place nobody's without. How can I say? Nobody can say, I didn't know. God's displaying his reality. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. He says, rejoice in my sufferings. Let me make this clear. We do not rejoice for our sufferings.
Right.
See, the word there is afflictions. The word there are afflictions in the Greek is the word philipsis. Philipsis, and it means pressure. To be crushed like a grape. To be squeezed. How many know you follow God, there's going to be some pressure?
Yes.
The devil's going to make sure you have some pressure. And in Paul's case, it was extreme persecution. But he says, I don't rejoice for my suffering, I rejoice in my sufferings. Because one of the steps toward moving into the glory is thankfulness. But what do you thank God for in your sufferings? They can't kill you.
Right. Still alive.
They can't take away your heavenly hope.
That's right.
Nothing can pull you out of God's hands. And we talked about on the cross, I mentioned it Thursday night, on the cross, Jesus experienced something we never will if we're born again, if we'll follow God. He was abandoned by the Father. He said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? The Father turned his back on Jesus for that moment when he took the sin of the world on his own body because the Father could no longer connect with him. Because he doesn't connect to sin.
That's right.
And Jesus became sin so we could be made righteous. And we will never be abandoned by the Father. So thank God in your afflictions for that, in your pressures.
Yeah.
And we mentioned over and over again, we've not suffered yet until the shedding of blood. You follow me? And so, things aren't always going to be rosy and peachy. To tell you the truth, I wasn't really that thrilled of not having a church for a year and a half. Or a place. I rejoiced all in it. I never complained about it. But I'm on my own building.
Amen.
Now look what God has done.
Amen.
This place is going to be, by the time we're done, this will be a show place.
It sure will.
I'm telling you, it's looking better now.
Yeah.
You follow me? It's going to be a show place.
Yeah.
People come to see this church just to see it. And so, pressure. There's going to be challenges. But maintain your joy in it, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Maintain your peace and keep celebrating what God has done for you. For your following.
Amen.
So Paul says, now understand what Paul went through. Beaten, left for dead, stoned.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about shipwreck, fastings often. All the stuff he encountered. In the prisons. In the lowest part of the prisons. Chained up.
Yeah.
I've had to be chained up in the lowest part of a prison. Yeah, they started praising God and their chains fell off. Thankfulness has power.
Yeah.
So he says, I rejoice in it, not for it. In my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We are the body of Christ. And what Paul went through was for us.
Yeah.
Amen. If nothing else, for an example, we should be rejoicing no matter what's taking place. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but I know what he went through.
That's right.
Amen. Verse 25, whereof? I'm going somewhere. Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you. He says, I made a minister. It's not for me, it's for you. And dispensation means that portion of God's plan he's turned over to me to fulfill. See, I really believe God brought us here for a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, Jessica, before we ever came in, was saying, this is Pastor Jack's building. This is Grace Fellowship's building. She'd see it and declare it. Here we be. We're not here just to have a place we can meet and have some happy gatherings. We're here to manifest the glory of God. Not just in this neighborhood, but in this whole county.
Yes.
This whole region. We're to bring transformation. And guess what? I have a choice. I have a choice, because I've had it offered to me many times. The devil said, why don't you just dial it back? Just have nice church services. Keep everybody happy. Why don't you just, you know, share stuff you've shared in the past and, you know, don't stretch anybody. And the devil's trying to get me to sell out the religion.
Right, right.
I haven't, and I might want to.
Amen.
Not trying to build me up, I'm just saying, there's always a decision you get to make whether you fulfill the dispensation applied to you. My dispensation, that God's given me visions and dreams for decades about the glory of God, and my dispensation is to manifest it.
Amen.
You see, the water tower opened up over the city, and the glory poured out. And if you're in here, that's part of your dispensation. But God's got assignments for your life, callings on your life, things you're to do, and to take it seriously and go all in. That's your dispensation. And you're a minister ministrating your dispensation. But there'll be pressures in it. The flesh will want to rebel against it. You got to fight the flesh. Amen?
Amen?
And anointing comes out of fighting the flesh. Did you follow what I just said? Anointing comes out of a discipline of fighting flesh, telling you, no, you will not dominate my life. I'm going to pursue God. Let the Word dictate my actions, beliefs, and reactions. He says, given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Something God's called you to do involves in fulfilling the Word of God in your life. And guess what? God's Word declares he's going to raise up an end time church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. There's no division, no strife, no envy. Walking in the supernatural love of God, he's going to do it.
Yes.
Part of our dispensation individually is to make sure we do our part to maintain that unity.
Amen.
To not let division in. To develop anointings on our life and release when he says to. See, even if I'm just preaching to myself this morning, I'm enjoying it. But look at this. Verse 26, he goes deeper. I want you to get a hold of this. He says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Paul said in the Word, he says, my assignment is to fulfill the Word for you. Did you know in Paul's day there was no New Testament? Now, some of the epistles had been written toward the end of his ministry, toward the end of his life, but there was no New Testament. Book of Revelation would be written for several decades after Paul had gone on. He said there's a mystery hidden in the Old Testament that now is being revealed to you. And I believe some people got a hold of the mystery. A few people over the years, over the millennia, have gotten a hold of the mystery. But by and large, the mystery is for a point in time. But at the end, shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will not tarry. The mystery ties clear back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, so large cover the sea. And Paul knew that. In fact, Paul mentioned it three times in Scripture. Maybe four. He mentioned it. He quoted, "The just shall live by faith," which ties you back to the glory vision. And Paul understood what that tied to. So he says, there's a mystery hidden from ages and generations. And it's still been hidden. Some of you may be hearing it for the first time this morning. It's been hidden. But now it's being revealed to the saints. Look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry. God's going to make known the riches of the glory of this ministry. Do you know how blessed you are to be the one God's unveiling the mystery to? How special God considers this generation to know the mystery?
Yes.
Because 100 years ago, the church didn't know it. 50 years ago, the church didn't know it. 20 years ago, the church didn't know it. And today, the church doesn't know it. But you know it. Because he's raising up the segments of the church right now that are pressing in. He's revealing it to. And he says, hidden from ages and generations, the mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Say Christ in me.
Christ in me.
Say it again louder.
Christ in me.
Christ in me. Christ in us. The hope of glory. But the word hope in the Greek is not the hope we think of as Americans. You know, we think of hope as, well, maybe it could happen. Oh, I hope this happens. Oh, I hope I get a new pony for Christmas. You're not. You live in town. You can get a pony. We don't have a place to put it. You follow me? Maybe a puppy, not a pony. And so we have these things we hope for. And people will say, well, are you doing this? Well, I hope so. Are you getting this? I hope so. Hope just means it's something you would desire. That's not what hope means in the Bible, in the New Testament. The word hope in the New Testament means an expectation you have based on what the Word of God is declaring.
That's right.
It's the blueprint for your faith. See, it could be you came in here, you start hearing about the promise you can walk in divine healing. And you go, oh, I want that. I want that in my life. You just establish hope.
Amen.
You may not have faith for it yet, but you've declared what you want.
Yes.
And you have a right to it because it's in the Word. And so you establish hope as the blueprint which you're going to build your faith towards. So many years ago when I wanted to walk in divine healing, divine health, I wanted it. I had hope. What did I do? I wrote down every verse in the Bible that dealt with healing and health. Wrote them down by hand. And read them day after day, every one. Confessed them. Meditated them. We have promise cards here somewhere with healing scriptures you can do yourself. Do you follow me? And I read those and read them and I meditated them and I confessed to myself and I said, this is mine, I have this, this is what the Word says, by His stripes I was healed. Until my faith built up to the level I could receive it. What was I receiving? The hope. I was receiving the end result of the hope I had established. Now, I would guess there's probably not a person in here that would like to walk in divine healing. How would you like to never be sick another day of your life? Anybody here? That's what I want. You have a hope. You have a right to it. It's in the Word. But until you get to the place that you want to build your faith for it, you want to get some scriptures out and confess them to yourself and meditate them and shut down the lies of the enemy telling you, oh, you're going to be sick, you're going to catch this. No, and you're going to fight for it. Use your faith. It stays hope. Amen. When I was a kid, I used to like to put together models. They're not such a big deal anymore. I don't think they are they? They still sell them, but you don't see them like you do. When I was a kid, they were everywhere. Model airplanes, model cars, model everything. We even had the model monsters. I had all the model monsters. Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, the Invisible Man, all these models they had. And you get all the pieces, and to put them together, you read the instructions, what goes where, you put this little glue on it, which always went everywhere. And by the time you have a nice glue-smeared model, what do you remember? And I had the cars, and I had a lot of the planes. I had ships, model ships. In fact, I had a big one. My parents got for me. It was probably 12 years old or so. A big model of the USS Constitution, old iron-size sailing ship. I built that. But when you get it, they show you a picture of it, what it can be, but there's all the parts. And old Ironsides had a lot of parts. You had to put every cannon together, every little piece. I mean, gluing stuff on, set it. Took quite a while to put it together. And in the box is just hope. And there's a picture there of what your hope is. I actually have at home several models. I think I have some model airplanes and some model cars. They're still in the box. I bought them at garage sales or whatever. Some people gave them to me. And I just have them up on in my man castle. I don't have a cave. I have a castle. I have them on display. And you can see, oh, there's that old model. I remember that model way back. Well, I've got it. Right now, I've got one big one of the Apollo moon rocket. I got it from my dad. He's never been, I don't know if it's ever been opened. A big one. Because he worked with the space program. He worked with Apollo. And the picture in there shows you a hope of what it can be, but you got to put it together. You have to read the instructions. Find out what goes where, when it goes there. It's hard, usually hard to do them. Just, well, I think this goes here, let's try this. You're probably going to mess it up. Get the car to go, oh, I forgot to put it in the windshield. Never working, we always got to go. How many of you always got glue on the windshield? Anyway, you got to build it. That's what we do with our hope. He says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes. God's given you a promise you can have the glory, but you've got to build for it.
Yeah.
Read the instructions. Here's the instructions. But if you can't read them, I'll tell them to you. Yeah. What do you have to have if you're going to build the glory? Holiness, thankfulness, and all of them. That's three of the main things. But you got to take time to confess it in your life. Meditate it. Read scriptures to deal with it. Say, I have this. Claim it.
Yes.
And what you do is when you start to claim it, you're starting to put the pieces together. And when we're done and the glory comes, we've turned our hope into a manifestation. Mm-hmm. Into a reality. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, get this. Paul says, here's the mystery. I think this is a key statement I'm making this morning right now. Here's the mystery hidden forever, but you get to do it. I'm thankful for the generation I live in. My wife has air conditioning. She's eternally grateful for air conditioning.
Yes.
I'm thankful for microwaves. I don't real chefs don't use them, but microwaves were my savior when I was single. I didn't get married until I was 30. And for many years single, I was making boiling bags.
Yeah. Can't remember that.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Boil your water, drop it in the bag. When you're done, you have shingles. What do you call it?
Ham and it was gravy.
It's a gravy stuff you put on toast or whatever. You can make different
things.
I won't
tell you what it's called.
Some broccoli and cheese. And I was living on a lot of those. And when they came up with microwaves, I could make a baked potato in 5 minutes. I lived on baked potatoes. Because if you've heard about me or know, I don't like to take time to eat my stuff. So 5-minute meal, sign me up. It took 10 minutes or 15 minutes to boil water. I'm thankful for microwaves. I'm thankful for color television. Do you follow me? I'm really thankful for the internet. I know people talk bad about it, but I like that. If I'm working on a car, I don't know what to do next. I can go look it up and it's there. Used to get have to get all the motor manuals, and I used to have to go to the library archives in Frankfurt to look up how to take something apart. Say the manuals and the archives. And it might take you hours to find it. Now one click. How do I take the door handle off this car? Boom, there it is. I'm thankful for the internet. Do you follow me? I'm thankful for antibiotics, hospitals, glasses. You know, glasses are a relatively new thing as far as mankind. How many here, if you didn't have glasses, would be in trouble? Really thankful for contact lenses. I like contacts. I'm the generation that got to see contacts. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all bear with me. These are things that all happened for the most part in our generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know there's people here today that would not be alive if not for modern medical advancements taking place in your lifetime? Bypass surgery is a relatively new thing. I mean, the first heart surgery period took place in my lifetime. If I remember right, the boy was stabbed in the heart. I believe while I was back in the 50s, I believe, they did surgery and saved his life. The surgeries we have are relatively new. I'm thankful. Let's get some of us around, probably me, possibly me. Amen. And so, all in our lifetime. But I'm also thankful. I'm thankful for the health department. I'm thankful for health departments. Because I've been in countries that don't have one. And where they're making the food, there's no running hot water.
Yeah.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're going to be eating.
Yeah.
So in other countries, they boil everything. Before you eat, they cook everything hot. Why? To kill the germs that are in it, that are going to be in it. Have to be in it because of the sanitation. They want to kill it, but I like the body in it anyway. We're going to serve you fecal matter, but we'll cook it first. But there you are. You're subjected to it. I'm thankful for health departments. But most of all, I'm thankful I'm in a generation that gets to manifest the end-time glory of God. They get to run with God's vision. It's been hidden from age and generation. I'll be manifest, made manifest to the saints, which is the mystery Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad I get to do this. And every vision, I'm talking about dozens and dozens of visions and dreams and even visitations I've had. Revelations have come to me, and they almost all deal with the glory coming on the end time church. Jesus came in my living room one time. Couldn't see, but he was there. Spoke with me. And he told me about the glory. We get to be the ones. So now I have a hope. I have something to run towards. And you get to choose whether you put this model together or not.
Yes.
You get to choose whether you'll read the instructions and get the glue up, put pieces together. Whether you'll stretch what God's doing. Because he's coming for a glorious bride. And our decision we make now, with our lives now, determines we'll be part of that bride. It's not just based on where you go to church, it's based on what you do. An application to step into the vision. Is this too hard? Pastor Jim ministered Friday night, and he kept apologizing all the way through it for it being so hard. Because he was talking about God coming to do some sifting. And I got up and said, this wasn't hard. It's what we want. We've been waiting for the sifting to get the fake out of the way so the real can be revealed. I'm ready for the glory. I want the glory. Whatever I've got to do to step into it, I'm all in. Amen. You get to choose whether you are. I'm not trying to make it hard. I'm trying to get you excited about going and running with the vision. Verse number 28. Though we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul says, my whole goal is to present everybody to God perfect through Jesus Christ. That's my hope. That we can step into a perfection as much as we can with God's made available. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. He's talking about the anointing, the Word of God, the Spirit of God working through Paul to unveil God's mysteries. And he says, here's the main one for the end times, according to the Bible, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I looked up, I thought I was done in about half an hour. But it says here, I've been ministering for a while. That's why you want to look at the bird. See that here. Father, I thank you for your word. You seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. You cause us to want to run. We want to run. You put in us this desire, whatever we got to do to move into your best, to move into your kingdom. We birth that right now. We step into it now in Jesus' name. And I speak in this church. There are none sick, none in pain. There's no oppression, no lack of anything. You supply everything we need. There's no fear, and there's especially no strife, no division. I praise you. We give you. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.
Amen.